I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here.
Try that again.
And it's a half past four and I'm shifting gear.
Hey, with you every Saturday morning. We'd like to open the lines up at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
With Dan.
Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Here's my question. My AC unit has, and my heater sits on a box in the garage, and the return air comes through the hall through a filter. And as it returns, it goes through another filter that's a plastic filter underneath the heater. Should I just remove that and not worry about it or leave it there to get better airflow and efficiency?
Okay, your system is on a platform in the garage.
Yeah, in a big box.
Okay, so the return air comes up from under the ground?
No, it comes from the hallway into the box and then through the heater, then through the coils and, you know, circulates.
Okay, and so what do you want to remove?
I have a rugger filter on the wall in the hallway, but in underneath the furnace, there's this plastic filter they put in. It's a train unit. Should I just take it out so I get better airflow, or should I just leave that plastic? It's just a plastic filter
now
underneath the heater.
Now, when was that installed, Dan?
96.
So when you say plastic filter, I'm thinking that's like one of those reusable washables that need to be taken
out. No, it's actually made out of hard plastic with a screen on it.
Hard plastic.
You can actually wash it and put it back in.
Yes, okay. But you don't, do you?
I have taken it out many times and cleaned it.
Okay. I am not a big fan of those at all. I'd much rather you just go to a simple 1-inch paper pleated filter, and I'm going to tell you why. We can't, with the exception of a sterilization process, clean that cleanable filter clean enough to really put it back in and do any good. That plastic filter is like fishing line, like monofilament line weaved into a mat. And as the air passes over it, it creates static electricity, which causes all of the particles in the air to stick to it. It's a very, very, very good filter. The problem with it, it's such a good filter that it clogs up too fast and starts starving your unit for air. And homeowners aren't equipped with the right kind of sterilization equipment to take that out, clean it, dry it completely. You never want to put that back into your airflow moist. That's a huge breeding ground for molds and deteriorating your indoor air quality very rapidly. So if I were you, you have a spun fiberglass filter like on the back side of your return air register underneath that platform. Did I understand that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And then I have another filter that goes to the hallway. It's under, you know, goes into the house where I have my pleated filter where the air flows from the hallway, you know, the return air into the box through the heater. So I want to jerk that plastic one out and just take it out.
I think so. If you're, now you want the filtering to happen as close to the coil as possible. So the fact that those other filters are a distance away, I would either want to spend a huge amount of time creating a completely dust-free return air plenum environment, or I'd move those filters back to where the plastic filter currently is, get that out of there, and just insert a good-fitting 1-inch paper-pleated filter, and I think you'd have the situation under control. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Take the plastic one out and get one that fits in there, a regular filter, a pleated one inside the heater.
There you go.
Okay, thanks.
That's what I would do, my friend. We appreciate the call. Thanks a million. And that leaves us to Eric with an open line for you, 1-888-767-4348. Eric, what's your question, my friend?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just had a quick question. I've added a couple of large swamp coolers to my workshop, and they've got the purge pump on them, and I'm discharging that excess water to water some trees with. I was just concerned about the high level of salinity in that water and what effect that would have on the trees.
What kind of trees are you feeding them?
Arizona Chamolash.
Yeah, and how mature are they?
The trunk on them is roughly at the bottom about 6 inch diameter.
Uh-huh.
Six, 7 inches.
And are these 6,500 CFM coolers or bigger?
Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. I mean, the trees that I'm watering are pecan trees.
Okay. And how big a coolers? But commercial, big 10,000 or residential 6,500?
They are 7,000 CFM. I've got two of them.
Okay, and how depending on how often you're regularly discharging, if you're discharging to the point where you're replenishing that water every 18 to 24 hours, you're not building up enough salinity in there to cause any damage to a pecan tree that's got a 6-inch diameter trunk. I think you're going to be just fine. Just make sure you're replenishing that water often enough to keep the salinity from building up, and you're going to be fine. Romy, you've got a very anxious filled expression on your face.
Well, are these pecan trees you plan on harvesting the pecans on and eating?
They're barely mature enough to really produce any nuts or good enough size.
We're running short on time. I will just say, if it's anything you're going to produce, they need a very specific amount of zinc to make a good pecan. And I don't think I'd introduce the salt buildups into that mixture.
Got it.